Let's turn in the New Testament to the book of Hebrews and the very last chapter, chapter 13. Hebrews 13, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, and burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. This is the word of God, inspired and true. The text we consider this morning is Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the same. And what a striking contrast that is, because everything in the world is constantly changing, and we are constantly changing. We are not the same. Jesus Christ, the same. Everywhere there is change, enormous change. And obviously, from a big picture perspective, if you look back over the decades and the centuries and millennia, massive, wide-scale change. But even take a smaller sample size, let's say just the past 5 years, and then look at your own life personally and all of the changes in the last 5 years. Who you are, where you are, who is with you. Or think of the churches, our own churches, and some of the massive changes that have occurred through conflict and schism that has, in a very direct and intimate way, affected many different people. Change. And then think big picture of the whole country and the whole world, and just imagine that 5 years ago, none of us had ever heard of COVID, coronavirus, and then you think of some of the global changes that occurred, and at certain points even affecting the very rhythm of our lives, our movements, our time, our space, our personal freedoms, our work, our education, our religious life, and then all the aftermath, all kinds of changes. And we might also mention, even in this past week, a significant Supreme Court decision. Fluctuation, the vicissitudes of life, constant change, everything in flux. And all of this reminds us of the fact that our Lord Jesus did not say, "I come," but he said, "I come quickly." And we ought not forget that adverb, quickly, how quickly things can change. And then the teaching of Scripture is that all these things are working together to bring about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he says, "I come quickly." Change everywhere. And this morning the Word of God says, "Jesus Christ, the same." What a comforting truth and confession found here in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews teaches the superiority of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is superior to everything, everywhere, in particular to all the types and shadows of the old dispensation, but really, he's superior to everything in the universe, including even the angels of heaven, as he has by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Christ is better than everything. And so the main word of the book of Hebrews is its exhortation. The word of exhortation to the Hebrew Christians. These were former Jews who had been converted to Christianity. They were living in the Christian church, confessing the name of Jesus. And the main word of the book is an exhortation to them: do not go back. They were being pressured by the unbelieving Jews. Come back with us. Come back to this whole dispensation, old Judaism. Come back. And the word of the book is, don't cave into the pressure. Don't apostatize. Don't go back to the Judaism of the old dispensation. You have the Lord Jesus Christ. Embrace him with a true and living faith and continue on in the name of Jesus Christ. He is superior. He is better. And now the 8th verse of the 13th chapter, found in the very last part of the book, teaches us that this glorious Savior, who's better than everything else, the one who, to whom we belong in life and in death, he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's quite a statement from the perspective of those to whom the book was originally written, because they were experiencing arguably the greatest change in the history of the world. They were part of the people who were making this great transition out of the old dispensation and into the new dispensation. Staggering change. Change we really cannot even fully conceive of and appreciate. A religious life unto God with no temple after thousands of years, now no temple, no priesthood, no animal sacrifices, and all these ceremonies that controlled the rhythm of their life. And what does this mean? The very essence of God's covenant has changed. Salvation has changed. God himself has changed. Amid all these changes, transitioning out of the old into the new dispensation, and then all of the changes of our life too, and all of the changes within us personally, the Word of God says this morning, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Let's consider that Word of God this morning, taking as our theme, our changeless Jesus Christ. First, the proper understanding. What does this mean? Second, the comforting knowledge. And third, the believing expression. The doctrine of the text is the doctrine that we in catechism class call immutability. Immutability is that attribute of God according to which he does not and cannot change. Our God, in the fullness of his being and in all of the decrees of his counsel, is from age to age the same. This passage of Scripture teaches us to say of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the same. He's the same yesterday, whether yesterday be understood literally as Saturday, or yesterday be understood figuratively, the past, yesterday, the day in which the Hebrew Christians were living, or the days in which Jesus was walking on this earth, or all the way back into the old dispensation when he was being promised and prophesied, yesterday and today, literally today, June 26, 2022, today and tomorrow and the next day and into the future and into the everlasting future of heaven, yesterday, today, and forever, the Word of God says, Jesus Christ, the same. Changeless. Now, regarding a proper understanding of that teaching of the text, two points are immediately obvious. Number one, Jesus Christ does not change with respect to his divinity. He's the eternal Son, and with God the Father and God the Spirit, the Son is immutable. Secondly, with respect to his humanity, and now before I complete that sentence, let's pause and appreciate here one of the great mysterious unions of the Bible, that in the one person of the Son of God are perfectly united a divine nature and a human nature. Jesus Christ, now with respect to his human nature, obviously changes. He changed in his physical appearance. There was a time when Mary was holding him as a little baby. Some 30 years later, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus are carrying a full-grown corpse to the sepulcher. He changed, and even from death, from life to death. Regarding the actual condition of his life, for many years he was taunted, mocked, ridiculed, persecuted. They spit upon him. They nailed him to a cross. But now he's exalted in heaven as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with all of his enemies under his feet. He changed. And the inspired Luke makes that explicit in the Scriptures, so that we read in Luke 2, verse 40, and the child, this is Jesus, And the child grew. Waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And again, Luke 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He changed. Two points are immediately obvious. With respect to his divine nature, he does not change. And even when he assumed a human nature and he took on something new, he remains the eternally unchangeable Son of God. Jesus Christ, with respect to his human nature, obviously changed. How do we properly understand the text? Because obviously we can't take it in the absolute sense of the word. The key is found in the first two words of the text. Jesus. Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. In who he is to us, and in what he does for us, as Jesus Christ, he does not change. Who is he to us, and what does he do for us? First of all, as Jesus. Well, the Bible teaches us, Matthew 1, verse 21, that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His work is to save us from our sins, and that never changes. His work is not, first of all, to save us from physical diseases like viruses, coronaviruses, or poverty, though in the end, he will fully deliver us from all of the diseases and poverties and the earthly afflictions of this life. But his essential work is to save us from our sins, from the guilt of our sin before God, from our condemnation in Adam, from the enslaving power of sin, and from the leprosy-like disfiguring corruption of sin. And that's what we need more than anything else, salvation from sin. Because if we are not delivered from our sins and we are guilty before God, then we must be punished. And then everything is against us, as is true for the unbelieving reprobate. Then everything God brings into our life, all of the struggles and the poverty and the diseases and the strained relationships, if we're guilty, everything is against us. We need salvation from sin. And in saving us from sin, he never changes. He's the same. In the Old Testament, when he worked through the pictures, the types and the shadows, when he was on this earth, even when he was healing physical diseases. Now, today, as he's our mediator in heaven, he's the Savior from sin. And into all eternity, we will praise him as the one who delivered us from our sin and unto everlasting righteousness in heaven. Sin. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He has no co-laborer. He alone saves. Yesterday, neither Moses nor a lamb could save us. Today, neither our works nor fellow saints can save us. Tomorrow, neither a political leader or the Antichrist can save us. He saves us from our sins. He shall save his people from their sins. That never changes. His people, whether he's hanging on that cross in agony, or whether he's sitting now at God's right hand, he never intends, he never attempts to save all. To save one who is not his elect sheep. Always he saves his people from their sins. He shall save. He saves sovereignly, efficaciously, graciously, every single one of his people. He actually saves. And He does so from a willing heart of love. Revelation 1, verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus. What does that name mean? He shall save his people from their sins. So who he is to us and what he does for us as Jesus, he never changes. Christ. That's his official title that God gave to him as the anointed office bearer for us. He's our anointed prophet, priest, and king. And in who he is to us and what he does for us as the Christ, he never changes. He's our prophet. And that means his work as our prophet is through the word to reveal to us our God. That's what he always does. Yesterday in the Old Testament, when he worked through those typological prophets of old like Isaiah and Jeremiah, when he was on this earth preaching on the mountainside or from the boat, or as he speaks to us now through the gospel, yesterday, today, and forever into all eternity, his work as our prophet is to reveal to us our God, only God, always God, the great God of the everlasting covenant. Prophet reveals God. He's our priest. And as a priest, his work is always to bring us unto God, in communion with God, to receive the blessings of God. Yesterday, when he was working through the typological priests who were shedding the blood, going behind the veil into the most holy place, lifting up the hands to give the blessing. Yesterday, when Jesus was hanging from that cross, himself being the sacrifice for sin and the high priest. Today, our intercessor at God's right hand, and forever in heaven, as we taste of and enjoy all of the pleasures that are at God's right hand, it's always in the face of and for the sake of this priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, our priest. He brings us unto God for the blessings of God, so that now by a true heart of faith, we can draw nigh unto God through our priest. And he's the king. And his work as king is to protect us from enemies and to rule us. He always delivers his people from enemies, whether they're Philistines or they're Amalekites or they're heresies and heretics or the devil and his whole dominion and the wicked world and our own flesh. He protects his people from enemies and he rules us. That's always his work as a king. He rules, and chiefly by coming into the heart, by his spirit, and taking up the throne within us, so that now we can manfully fight against and overcome sin and the devil and his whole dominion and live unto God as King Jesus rules within. And one day we will rule with him as kings in the new creation. Prophet, priest, and king. In who he is to us and in what he does for us as Christ, office bearer, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, the gospel never changes. The gospel, as it was preached yesterday to Adam and Eve through lamb blood, the gospel, as Jesus preached it in the temple in the last week of his life, the gospel, as Paul took it to the Gentile nations, the gospel, as is preached here and in our churches and wherever the true church of Jesus is found on earth today, the gospel does not change because the content of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, of course, there are changes. In the new dispensation, we have revealed to us much more than they did yesterday in the old dispensation. And as the gospel is preached, and over the course of our life, we have new insights. We see new applications of the doctrine. And various heresies and distortions arise, and God uses that to take his church and drive her deeper and deeper into the scriptures. But the gospel never changes. It's our understanding of the gospel that changes. The gospel does not change. Jesus Christ does not change. The content of our faith does not change. The rock upon which we stand does not change. The one to whom we are united in body and soul, both in life and in death, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How comforting then is the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the same, because we change and everything around us is constantly changing. Consider five things that change, making the knowledge of this truth so comforting. Number one, every believer confesses, I change. Yesterday, my love for God was burning so brightly. I would make any sacrifice for God. And today, the fire of my love for God is dying in the embers. And I'm losing my first love as my life and my career and my possessions and my vacations and my ease of life and my pleasures of the sinful flesh mean more to me than God himself. Oh, I change. I change, says the believer. Yesterday, my faith was at high tide. I was standing on the mountaintops of faith. The joy of the Lord was my strength. And today, on account of all of these changes and disruptions to my life, I have all these anxious thoughts, and I've been having many sleepless nights. What's happened to my faith? I change. Yesterday, I walked out of the doctor's office hearing him say, "You look great, inside and out." Today, he says, "It's back. Your cancer." I change. Physically in my body, spiritually in my soul, I change, and often I'm unfaithful. But my confidence, says the believer, is that I belong to a Savior who is the same. The Savior who calmed the winds and the storms before the disciples yesterday is today, in his compassion and power for me, the exact same Savior as he was on that boat. And he says, "Peace, be still." And tomorrow he says, "Peace, be still. You belong to me." He is the same. Secondly, the believer says, circumstances all around me are changing. Look at the economy. We are utterly helpless. Wherever the economy goes, all under the sovereign providence of God. When the economy is strong and stocks are rising and consumer confidence is high and the fear index is low, and we have a good job and everything's stable, well, that might be the description of today, but very quickly, even tomorrow, the economy goes into a free fall and there's talk of recession, and will I be laid off sometime this year? All this change. Or it may happen that yesterday the believer says, "I live in a land where the political candidates who occupy positions of power in the government, they're conservative, and they have policies that are favorable to Christianity." Yesterday, and then today, political leaders who are explicitly anti-Christian And now, what does this change mean? Circumstances are always changing. Yesterday, the teacher stood in the front of the room, a little one-room schoolhouse, with this white piece of chalk scratching on a blackboard. That was yesterday. Today, I sit in my house and I open my laptop and my teacher is on the screen. Change. Sometimes for good. Sometimes advancements that make our life easier. But circumstances are always changing and often not for good. And the comfort for the child of God is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because he's the revelation of God, God does not change as the God of the covenant who loves us. No matter what changes around you in the circumstances of your life, yesterday God loved you. Today God loves you. Tomorrow, God will hate me. Tomorrow, God will love you. Even when he chastens you and he takes his heavy hand of affliction and he lays it upon you, he loves you. Jesus Christ, the revelation of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's our comfort. Number three, life in the instituted church changes. And now we see a direct connection to the context. First of all, men change. That's verse 7, at least by implication. Verse 7 says, and it speaks here of office bearers who rule and teach in the church. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And then we have the text saying, Jesus Christ the same. And one of the implications is that these office bearers who rule and teach, they might change. Today, he's here. Tomorrow, he's gone. Because he has a term limit, or because he must resign, or because he's disabled by illness, or because he's released for weighty reasons, or because he's deposed for sin, or because he faithlessly deserts his office, or because he's imprisoned for the gospel, or he's slain by the sword, or he's a minister and he takes a call to another church, or becomes emeritus. Today, he's here. Tomorrow, he's gone. And sometimes that can shake a congregation to its core. There he is. Christ, the office bearer, the indispensable office bearer, the one who loves and provides for his church, the one who saves us from our sins and saves us office bearers from our sins. The Christ to whom we belong, the scripture says, as a bride to her husband, as a head to the body, he is the same. In the Old Testament, Aaron's our priest. Eleazar's our priest. Eli's our priest. In the Old Testament, yesterday, David's our king. Today, Solomon's our king. Tomorrow, Rehoboam's our king. Very foolish. Christ, the same, our office bearer. Not only do men change, but doctrine may change in the church. Now understand, the doctrine of Scripture never changes, but the church's confession, the church's teaching of doctrine may change in the instituted church and change for the worse. For the very next verse, verse 9 says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Foreign impositions upon the Scripture and distortions of the Scripture, that may happen in an instituted church. God forbid it happen among us. But in light of that reality, our comfort is that Jesus Christ is the same. And because all true doctrine is the revelation of Christ, true doctrine remains the same out of the Scriptures. And Jesus Christ has promised that he will preserve that doctrine and the confession of it in the world somewhere, because the gates of hell will never prevail against his church. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Fourth, the believer says, the wicked world changes. And now we're referring to the world as wicked men and women who live out of the inner principle of corruption as a race that is alienated from God, that is hostile to Jesus Christ, his church, and gospel, and that is ruled by the prince of the air, Satan. The world, the wicked world, is constantly changing and getting worse and worse, the recent Supreme Court decision notwithstanding. Yesterday, virtually everyone believed and confessed that a man is a biological male, and that a woman is a biological female. Today, you are what you think, and you are what you feel, and you are what you want to be, so that now a believing member of the church can go into the workplace and stand before his coworker, who's a biological male, looks like and talks like a man, he's a man, but says, I'm a woman, and you must view me and treat me as a woman. How things change. Today, I can publicly say, that's absurd, and it's a blasphemous reproach against our Maker, with probably no repercussions. Tomorrow may be very different. The world changes. It's getting worse and worse as the Scripture prophesies, immorality abounding. But as the wicked world changes all around us and more, that means suffering for the church and for the individual Christian. Our comfort is that Jesus Christ is the same. He's the prophet. He will continue to reveal to us our great God and his everlasting love out of the unchanging, unchangeable, authoritative Scripture. And Jesus Christ is the priest who will keep taking us and our children in this wicked world and bringing us under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. And Jesus Christ is the King who will continue to rule over us and our children. And no matter what hideous works of darkness are uncovered before our eyes in these last days, King Jesus will safely hold us and our children and our soul in life and steadfast make our way all the way to the end. He is the same as Jesus, as Christ. And that's our comfort. Fifth and finally, the believer says, people change. People apostatize. Not because Jesus changes and he ceases to be their Savior, but because they change. They never were savingly united to him. They only appeared to be a genuine Christian, and then the appearance is taken away, and they apostatize from the true Christian religion. And that was real when this book was written. It was an experience that was common in the lives of many of God's people. There were professing Hebrew Christians. They had come out of Judaism. They came into the Christian church. They confessed the name of Jesus, but they couldn't withstand the pressure of some of their family members and their former friends who were still unbelieving Jews, and they were pressuring them and enticing them, come back with us, come back with us into Judaism. And so some of them did, indicating in that apostasy that they never were savingly united to Christ. People change. One day confessing Jesus, the next day denying Jesus. And that's especially agonizing when it is a son or a daughter, a father or a mother, a friend. People change. And just in general, people are fickle. And we know that because we are fickle. Our opinions about a person, a situation, a matter can change with the wind. And it may happen that your biggest supporter who could not shower you with enough praise yesterday is today your biggest critic. And they won't even look at you, or they publicly slander you. People change. And sometimes believers are overwhelmed by the change. Even in our closest relationships, we all change. Hebrews 13 begins, "Let brotherly love continue." And that's an exhortation we all need to hear, because our love, even our closest relationships, it isn't always so steadfast. We're not always so committed. We're all changing. People change. Our comfort is that we have an elder brother, we have a husband, we have an office bearer to whom we can safely commit our body and our soul in faith. Because he is faithful, you can trust him, he doesn't change. Don't ever build your life and your confidence, hope, and happiness on any person as a rock, because you're setting yourself up for sorrow. Don't do that. We stand on the rock, who is Jesus Christ. He will never betray you. He will never betray you. He is faithful, he is trustworthy, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And forever. The text makes a special point of assuring us with its words, "and forever." In the original, we read, "Jesus Christ the same." No. "Jesus Christ yesterday and today the same. And forever." As inspired by the Holy Spirit, the text does not put in succession yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, yesterday and today the same, and now the clincher, and forever. Because it's immaterial. If Jesus is the same yesterday and today, but there's the possibility of him changing tomorrow, there is absolutely no comfort. This passage says, no matter what changes all around you, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Believe it. Say it. For the text is our believing expression. Did you notice the text is an incomplete sentence? It has no verb. Not even that little English verb, "is." It doesn't say Jesus Christ is. It says Jesus Christ the same. Did you also notice that the text has no connecting word that directly, explicitly connects it to its context? We have in Hebrews 13 a series of exhortations. "Let brotherly love continue." And then one exhortation unto love after another. And into verse 9, but verse 8, it just suddenly appears. There's no therefore, since, because, for, moreover. It just appears. The text is an emphatic exclamation of faith. It doesn't need to be a complete sentence. It doesn't need to have a verb. It doesn't need to be explicitly, directly connected to what comes before or after it, because it's simply an exclamation of the believer. It can come at any time that it's appropriate to speak. It can come anywhere. It can be found in any theological instruction. Cry it out. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. It could be found anywhere in the book of Hebrews. It would fit in any chapter, anywhere. It could be inserted, an exclamation of the believer. But the Holy Spirit is wise and orderly, and he certainly fits it here for good purpose in its context, but especially in the last chapter at the end of the book, so that the whole book of Hebrews says, he is superior to everything. But what if he changes? He is superior to everything. The Lord Jesus Christ. And now at the end of the book, this believing exclamation, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Let that be then our emphatic exclamation. Unbelief dismisses it. Unbelief ridicules and rejects it. Unbelief may even lament. I have to say, I will agree. What it says is true for other people. But I'm not so sure that it's true for me. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. Believe. Believe. And today, as believers, we confess by the wonder of faith that not only sees the seen, but sees the unseen in the spiritual realm. No matter what changes, He, Jesus Christ, is the same. Believe it, express it, and you and I may say and can say, if I must change, if I must change because of my sin, because of my doubts and my fears, there is change for me in this changeless Christ to whom I'm united with an unbreakable bond, and He will make me sincerely willing and ready to believe, to repent, to turn away from my sins, and to turn unto Him and say, no matter what changes all around me, He's the same. And there's nothing more important than Jesus Christ in your life. And the Word of God says to you this morning, do not ever fear that He will leave you or forsake you or betray you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, so work Thy Word in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we believe and express the emphatic exclamation of the text. And may we do that today and tomorrow and forever. And we pray that others may hear and also be brought to saving faith, that they too may make the confession of the text, and that to the glory of Thy great name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.